Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Email Design Podcast. We talk about all things here, design, development, marketing. We just totally geek out on email. We are your hosts for today's program. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
And we have an awesome guest episode today here on the podcast. Joining us from a little company you may know, Under Armour, is Meg Tiffany, who's an interactive designer at Under Armour. So Meg, welcome into the podcast.
Thank you. Hey, guys.
So excited to have you on here today.
Thanks. It's really exciting.
Yes. So much to get into. I'm really excited to talk more about some of the e-commerce and like retail side of things for email marketing. But we love getting things started, Meg, really just learning, you know, about your story, your journey. Like, how did you get involved in email and the email world?
Well, my first job out of college was at a local software and web development firm in little old Fort Wayne, Indiana. Not sure if you've ever heard of that city, but it was at a place called Aptera, and I designed all the materials that advertise the company. So it was a lot of B2B projects. And with that, we did a lot of webinars, advertising, some in-person sessions for business intelligence and the latest and greatest in software. So we did that all through email blasting. It was all up to me to design, code, test, and even send the emails. And I mean, this was back in 2010, 2011, and nobody was really there to teach me. So I was doing call spans and row spans.
we've all been there.
Oh my gosh, it was awful. Web 2.0 graphics was all the rage then as well. So it was a great time.
What did you study in school?
I went to school to be a graphic designer. I had a focus in illustration, and that really translated well into web, just because there are a lot of illustration techniques.
Did you actually take any like coding classes while you were in school, or is this more just on the job, figured out as you go along?
I took one, but you know, it was a code class for designers, and you really can't learn enough in one coding class. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've actually spoken to the teachers. I'm like, you guys should teach email code. That would be way better. And I feel like, you know, you'd get a lot more accomplished in one semester out of that. So really, most of it was on the job training and just kind of figuring it out as I went. So after Aptera, I moved into a job at Vera Bradley, which is another retailer, and they're also based out of Fort Wayne. And I was recruited by a couple like Twitter followers. They kind of like passed my name along, and I ended up interviewing there for a web designer position. And my future boss, he actually said to me in the interviews, like, so I know it says web design, but this is actually an email design position. Is that okay? And I was like, is that okay? This is a dream come true. So that was really at Vera where I learned how to code emails the right way and where I developed my burning love for email and retail.
Nice. So you're currently at Under Armour now. So your actual title is interactive designer. So we'd love to kind of delve into that and see what that actually consists of and hear a little bit more about how the team structure is at Under Armour and how you guys kind of tackle email.
Yeah. So interactive designer, that means that I work on our e-commerce creative team. We split our creatives to work on various parts of our business. And for us, we work on the site, we work on social media posts, we work on digital marketing. We also art direct photo shoots and creative to support our channel. And then, of course, a very, very large part of it is email. I focus on a couple different categories, but I focus really heavily on email with our team. I redesign, general templates for, you know, body content. And then I also, you know, work on strategy and overall art direction and template changes. Right now we're actually going through a pretty big template change, and I've been working on that pretty closely.
How much of your time, what do you say, percentage-wise, is spent on email?
Ooh, you know, it really changes pretty often. But I mean, I touch email every single day, several times a day. I would say at least 50% of my day is dedicated to either meetings about email or creating emails or photo shoots for emails. We started doing that a little more recently, where we're creating content specifically for our email campaigns.
Yeah. It seems like you're in a unique position. I feel like a lot of email people don't necessarily touch as many parts of the business, or are as involved in different parts like photo shoots or the website or anything like that. Are there ever any real challenges balancing out, web work or art direction or anything like that with email? Or do you think that's like a really big advantage for keeping email right on par with the rest of the business?
I think it's been actually a really good advantage, and we are able to use the analytics that we get directly from email and take it back to some of our other designers and discuss, this is the type of imagery that converts. This is the type of content that we need that'll really speak to that channel. You know, look at how well email A, B, and C have performed. And it allows us to go back and really help dictate the creative. And I feel like everybody works really well together to make sure that we're getting assets that support not only, you know, billboards and, media buys, but also for our website and for email. It's a lot of the times it's as easy as telling them these kind of dimensions and this type of imagery, and everybody really jumps on board. Under Armour is very collaborative, and we have this like intense desire to win. With a big history in sports with the brand, we definitely have that kind of, attitude in our culture as well.
Nice. How big is your actual team?
So on my specific team, there's 21 of us that makes up interactive designers like myself. And then there's copywriters, coordinators, and art directors, and a creative director on our team. We also have 6 email marketing team members that I work directly with, and they help, make sure that coordination is going strong with our emails, making sure things go out on time, developing lists, developing strategy with us, and really helping push that marketing effort forward.
And I'm kind of curious you said you guys are very collaborative, which is awesome, but are there any specific tools you use for communication, internal communication, and keep everybody on the same page?
Yeah, so we recently switched over to Workfront, and we were kind of divided before. We used a different software for my team, and then, some of the print designers were still using print jackets. So now the entire creative team is all on Workfront together. And so we communicate all of our projects and all of our briefs through there. And then we use chat pretty often, and we recently introduced Slack. So I'm trying to get everybody on Slack. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
We love Slack at Litmus.
Yeah. Slack's great.
Yeah. I'm hearing Workfront more and more from companies who are saying they're using that as their project management sort of platform.
It's nice because we have software developers as well. And there are a lot of, things about Workfront that really appeals to that community. And then it also, respects the designers of the creative, or respects the desires of the creatives. And it's really allowed everybody to communicate a lot more effectively and have everything in one place. We can deliver files there, upload documents. It's been really nice.
So you mentioned that obviously, you're a designer, you design a lot of things. So are you designing like every single email, and that really falls under your your umbrella of what you focus on? You're actually doing the design part of it?
No, I design a lot of emails, and I design specific ones that fall under, certain categories that I focus on from a brand perspective, such as training. And then I do a lot of ad hoc campaigns, like top rated picks and, our welcome series and stuff like that. But we send so many emails, and we have so many different types of lists based on shopping behavior that we had to divide the work up. So everybody on their team touches email every day. I just focus on it. So I go to the email meetings and bring the information back to the group. And I work closely with our developers to make sure that, everything is getting developed the way we want. I've kind of become a liaison for our group, just to make sure that, one person is dedicated and focused to email as an effort.
Sure. So what do you, For design, what tools are you using for that? Are you using Photoshop, Sketch? How does your team typically work?
We work mostly in Photoshop. We have a couple Sketch licenses with some of our teammates, but most of the email is still in Photoshop at this point in time. And then every once in a while, I get out the old pad and paper and start wireframing.
Are you using GitHub or Dropbox or something for version control for those assets?
We have an internal server, and we work off of that for the most part. But then we also use Workfront for delivering our files and getting it to the people that need it.
And so are you working with people directly on your team for the copywriting and the creative, like, you know, the content, I would say? I mean, obviously, you're sort of in control of the, I guess, the branding, the design, and that creative side. But in terms of the content, do you have people directly on that team you mentioned in which you're working with for producing that content?
Yeah, that's correct. We have three copywriters and then a copy director directly on our team. And for every request that we get, we have one of them assigned to the project. And so we early on sit down and discuss the email and start collaborating and working together to, you know, the tone that we want it to say, knowing if there's any, you know, restrictions coming from, you know, legal on promotions. They really help, you know, bring all that information together and create the message that we need it to say.
And so you are actually using an agency for the development side of the emails for the production of them. Is that correct?
That's correct. So when I moved to Under Armour, I stepped back from developing email directly and started, you know, working with this company called Merkle instead. And Merkle's become a, you know, extension of our team, and we work closely with them to get our emails developed. But we still have the opportunity to strategize with them and, you know, get exactly what we need. We're constantly pushing, you know, each other forward and coming up with new ideas. So even though I don't code directly, I still work on it and dig into it, you know, to help assist them.
Well, that's gotta be, having the experience of knowing the limitations of email clients, since you have that experience, I mean, that must really help you when it comes to designing, because you can actually understand what needs to be done on the other end.
Totally. Yeah, I 100% agree there. It's been a big advantage being able to take the information that I gained from my slicing days to, you know, understand how I need to put things together and make them format for email correctly.
Do you, we're on just design there, do you ever try to, a better way of asking is, do you just try to design it so that it can look the same everywhere? Or do you know that with nuances, it, you know, it's going to look different in some places? And do you actually design for that? Or do you just sort of know that? I'm just interested in sort of what your design approach is like then.
Right. So we try to be as consistent as possible, and we want it to try, you know, basically look the same everywhere that it can. We do know that there are some nuances where things won't work the way we want. There are some instances where we design fallback states, but that's a pretty rare occasion. Typically, we, you know, try to design for the stuff that we know our customers are using the most. We have some pretty good data and seeing, you know, where they're opening our emails. And we're pretty confident in all those clients that they're looking good.
Do you, I guess I'm kind of curious how you communicate the testing with Merkle. Do you rely on them for testing everything for you and sending you proofs? Or what's that kind of QA process like with the agency?
Yeah, so when we send everything out, we tell them, you know, this is generally how we want it broken up and what we want to be clickable and stuff like that. And then, you know, they work on it and they test everything through Litmus. And they make sure everything looks good in there. And we have a lot of trust that, you know, they are doing that properly. And so when they send it back to us, they're sending it as an HTML file that I'm able to open up in my email client and check it out and make sure it looks good on our end. We go through and check all the links, check image rendering, you know, download time, stuff like that, just as another, you know, pass through to make sure that everything's good on our end.
Nice. So I kind of want to jump over and start talking a little bit more about the specific challenges from a retail perspective. Because I think Kevin and I both more come from the B2B type world, that software world. So we're not really business to consumer, where you guys definitely are. That's your main focus. So I'm curious what some of those challenges might be for you from an emails perspective, just because it seems like there's a lot of different media channels that you have to balance with email, and how you kind of go about balancing those things, like, you know, corporate standards or using imagery, syncing up with all these different channels, and how that kind of makes its way into those email campaigns.
Right. So I definitely think that retail and email is a different beast. And, you know, the biggest thing that we have to overcome is our corporate standards with, you know, what fonts we have to use. We have a specifically like in-house branded font. So that does make it difficult for, you know, headlines and, you know, certain lines of copy. We're working on trying to find like a nice fallback, but right now we've had to like bake everything in. And then we're really heavy on images, as a lot of retailers are. You know, we want to sell our products and we want to get them, you know, into that consumer's inbox as quickly as possible. It's really about the journey for us. So when we're showing, you know, these products, we want to give them, you know, a nice, beautiful shot, but then also some detail imagery. And then we want to try and get them to click through immediately to the, you know, on the purchasing path. So with that, the imagery can, you know, bog down some of our, you know, open times and download speeds, just because it, you know, there are some bigger images. So since I've started, I've been working with our developers to make sure that things are sliced up cleanly and efficiently, to make sure that images are downloading faster. And then we're currently on a template where we're serving up a desktop version and a mobile version. And I'm currently in a project to eliminate that, so that we're on one version that is mobile friendly and scales cleanly and neatly, with nice buttons and copy that's legible on mobile experience. So I think that's really going to help with our download speeds. And then we also have key art. So working with, you know, such a big brand like Under Armour, we have designers that are developing all these big, beautiful campaigns. And a lot of the imagery we get out of that isn't necessarily always formatted for email. So like I said earlier, we've been working with those teams a lot to make sure that there's an understanding of what kind of formats we need images or video in, if we're going to try and implement a GIF. And then also trying to prevent as little, you know, logo usage as possible. We love icons, we love logos. However, when, you know, it's created as, you know, this interesting logo lockup, we can't always use that as selectable type, even on our own website. So we've been working with them a lot to kind of get some standardization, or at least to have fallbacks, so that if we can't use it this way, how does it look in email and still look like it, you know, belongs with part of the campaign.
Do you guys rely on any sort of style guides or design pattern type library too? That you kind of work with the key art people to get all that stuff consistent?
Yeah, totally. So for every project that we do, like every big branding moment, there is a style guide that goes along with it. And, you know, it makes sure that we follow, you know, all those steps along the way to make sure it's appearing in all the different places properly. Sometimes that can, you know, be a bit fatiguing as you're, you know, digging through these files and, you know, making sure that you've, you know, dotted all your I's and crossed your T's. But it does really help, and it prevents inconsistencies. We also have style guides for our website that we use, and through our emails, where right now I'm working on setting up a bunch of them in Creative Cloud libraries, so that, you know, all of our CTAs are the, you know, same size in our mockups, you know, making sure that font sizes are consistent, and, you know, you're able just to pull that right over from the library.
Do you have, so it seems like you mentioned that most of your emails are all image based. Are you guys making any efforts to maybe make some of those design components, specifically like buttons or body text, into HTML components?
Yeah, and the first step is redoing our template to move it from the desktop and mobile version. We're trying to catch up as, you know, fast as possible, but at the same time, like, not, you know, leap too far forward that, you know, we're breaking process. So once when we get that accomplished, then we're going to start focusing on, you know, the inner workings of the email with those bulletproof buttons, selectable type. I think body copy is a really big place that we can use the fallback font and, you know, kind of break away from our standard a little bit there without, you know, much degradation.
Yeah. It seems like another thing with retail is that it seems like retail sends a lot more email than other industries. How do you guys kind of think about strategy for what you're sending when you're sending it and deal with things like list fatigue?
Yeah, so we have so many segments because we monitor shopping behavior based on gender, for example, but then we also look at what activities you might be into, such as, you know, running, or are you a hiker? Do you really love football, or do you just watch football? And we're able to make assumptions based on your shopping behavior. We also know if there's kids in your household, kind of based off of what you buy. So we have different segments based upon that. And there are some instances where we'll split an email up and say, let's create, you know, four gender versions, men's, women's, boys, girls. And then we have other instances where we've been trying to send it based more upon your end use and what you're interested in. For example, if you're a runner. So with that said, in regards to list fatigue, we've been working really hard to send emails specifically to people that we think are interested in that subject so that we're not just doing a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. And even the gender segmentation was great, but I think we're trying to like go further than that and really dive in and make sure that people are getting the content that they want to hear and the things that they want to see and potentially purchase. And we've had a lot of success with it. And I think it's definitely helping. We saw some list fatigue over the holidays, as I'm sure a lot of people do. During that time, we sent a lot more promotions. And we opened a lot of our sends up to the full list because at that time, you don't really know if they're shopping for themselves or if we're shopping for somebody else. So we don't want to assume and put them in an inappropriate bucket.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a drastic change recently from when you first started? Were you guys typically doing that kind of batch and blast mentality when you first started? Or is this always been the way?
When I first started, it was more gender-based segmentation. Mm-hmm. We would do men's, women's, and then one for kids. And since we've really developed a stronger strategy, our email marketing team has really driven that effort. And we recently started working with affinity lists, and that's really brand new to us.
So what are the analytics that you really try to focus in on for your audience? Like, what are the key metrics that you're looking at when it comes to the email side of things?
So we definitely look at engagement metrics with, you know, open rate and CTO. And then we also look at conversion and revenue. I mean, those are all fantastic. But the great part about retail is we can also watch them and follow them onto our site and monitor what they're doing there. And it's amazing watching how the analytics come together and we can see how long they're spending on a page. We recently started putting some blog content at the bottom of our couple of our emails just to see what happens and see if people that typically shop with us are interested in, let's say, the MyFitnessPal blog. And we actually watch those people go onto the MyFitnessPal blog site and spend more time there than most of the typical blogging audience has. So it really helps back up your design decisions far more than just the average analytics that, you know, we've looked at.
Right. So you're really trying to figure out, okay, not necessarily, obviously you're looking at the base email metrics, but you're really interested in the behavior and the flows they're taking that happen after, once they jump out of the email and what they do after that.
Correct. It really drives what we, you know, put on the emails. For example, we have these product pages. We call them product detail pages. And that's where, you know, you have the one product and you add it to your cart. And we started adding elevated content there with detail imagery, and we saw a pretty significant lift in conversion. So we started applying the same thought to email. Well, if they like those detailed photos there, will it help convert, you know, email traffic? Will it help them click through more? And sure enough, it totally does. So it really helps us, you know, make those design decisions and, you know, fuels us quite a bit.
So you're really trying to, I mean, not just personalize, but really hyper personalize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. We do a lot of personalization effort.
Yeah. Do you think that there are, I mean, obviously that's sort of like the, that's a goal for everybody, right? That's the dream. Everybody could just have the most personalized email at the right time, but it's always trying to get to that point with the data that everybody has. I mean, what do you think are some of the, I guess the challenges to actually implementing that? And are there, you know, even drawbacks, do you think, to that aspect of email?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the biggest drawback is sometimes you can totally be wrong. And, you know, sometimes we put somebody in a phishing segment and it turns out they were just looking for, you know, something for their father that one time. And now they're nonstop getting, you know, phishing emails where they actually are not interested. So, you know, you can definitely get it wrong, but I think, you know, what you have to do is just stay on top of it and continue to watch behaviors and refresh your segments. I think our segments change on a weekly basis and sometimes even faster than that. Based upon your shopping data, we have everything linked together pretty well. Because I know that there are times when I'll get men's emails segmented to my inbox just based upon the fact that I'm looking a lot of men's projects and products online at the time. And then a couple of days later, I switch to a woman's project, and then you can almost in real time see my list change to women's product. So I think our email team has done a really good job staying on top of that to make sure that our personalization is accurate.
That's interesting. And where does your audience typically open? I mean, is it more mobile, desktop, typically speaking?
It's mostly mobile. Like we have mostly a really, mobile. Yeah, we do a lot in mobile, and I don't have the percentage in front of me, but it is quite a bit more than elsewhere. We still consider desktop, but, and it's definitely important, but we design with mobile first in mind.
Gotcha. And what, I mean, I guess the key demo of your company, I mean, you probably have a focus on a bit younger type demographic, right?
Right.
I mean, you're such a big company, you kind of have everybody as a customer, but you probably are, you know, that, you know, I don't know, middle, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever type of demo is probably more of your key demo. Maybe I'm making a wrong assumption, but.
No, I think that's a healthy assumption. We do have a lot with kids right now. That's a really big market for us. We do work with school uniforms. We do work with athletic apparel. And a lot of those other, you know, purchasers in the 30s and 40s brackets are purchasing for their kids, which is absolutely excellent. But when we do design, we design more with that purchaser in mind and send more, you know, towards the parent versus the child with our creative. But yeah, I would say that 20s, 30s, 40s is a really good, healthy assumption.
So what ESP are you using at Under Armour to sort of manage all of this?
We are in a warm-up period with Salesforce right now. We started moving everything over, and it's going great. We really like Salesforce, and they offer some great analytics and Merkle's bar extension. External developers, they work very closely with that team.
Gotcha. And so that's, just to clarify, that's Marketing Cloud that, and not like Pardot or something?
Yes, Marketing Cloud. Cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's a ton of stuff to dive into on the segmentation end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to really think about that. And the affinity segments, for example, that is something that we're looking at people that they are not necessarily runners, for example, but we think they might be interested in running just based upon some of their other purchasing behaviors. So we've also been sending segments just to kind of clean up our lists a little bit to people that we think might be interested and seeing how they respond, and building segments based off of that too. And it's been a really big success.
I'm kind of curious what the design and copy for those affinity segments look like compared to something that, you know, you can like qualify those people as actually interested in running. How do you alter mm-hmm. the design and the copy based on that?
So we don't alter it too much, but the tone is a little more personal, and we try and mix in, we're looking at mixing in some blog content and, you know, stuff like that, just to see, you know, what happens. If we know you're a runner, for example, we'll send you some running shoes, you know, in an email. But if we think that you might be a runner, you know, we might work on something that's a little more editorial, just to kind of see what happens.
Yeah, that seems like a smart approach. All right, we're going to take a quick break before we get back into some more email chatting. Just to remind everybody that you can check out all the episodes of the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. You can also follow along with us on Twitter using the hashtag emaildesignpodcast. And subscribe to get all of our episodes on SoundCloud, iTunes, and now YouTube as well. So pick your channel of choice and subscribe there. And remind everybody, all the listeners, that you can try out Litmus free for 14 days by just going to litmus.com/giftcard and using the coupon code podcast. Will you get a free trial of, you know, Litmus Builder, all the instant previews, and over 70 different clients now we're up to, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
Email analytics, all the tools that we offer, checklist. So definitely try that out, litmus.com/giftcard, and use the coupon code podcast. Kind of getting back into it, we were chatting a little bit before we actually started recording, and you mentioned that you've been testing out some interactive emails. So I'm kind of curious what those interactive emails look like and how they've actually been going for you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, we've been trying out some different types of interactivity with mostly hover states and carousels. We are kind of in the infant stages there, but we really want to, you know, drive our industry to do more in email. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit before about, you know, some of the challenges in retail. So we're trying to make up for some of that and, you know, try some of these neat things with interactions. So with the carousel, for example, we make sure that, you know, all the content on the next slides isn't imperative for people that won't see it. We're treating it more like an added bonus if you're going to have it, you know, on your email client. And for example, during the gifting season, we had a co-gender email go out speaking to like buying gifts for basically anybody you could. And you were able to, you know, flip through a couple different images of what we thought was some of the great gear that you could buy. But for those that, you know, couldn't see that content, we stripped out the buttons and just presented them with a great image instead, with strong copy. And then hover states we've been doing fairly more often than the carousel. And we've been doing that to kind of help show different angles and different details of items. So for example, we have this really awesome product called Storm, and there's different levels of Storm, and it's different types of waterproof fabric. Mm. So we might show somebody wearing a Storm jacket, and then when you hover over that section, it goes into a deep macro shot to show how the water beads up on the product.
Nice.
So stuff like that, just trying to offer people, you know, a little bit more. And like I said, it's definitely in the infant stages. I think there's, you know, a certain level of training we have to do to our consumers to get them to realize that that stuff is there. Mm-hmm. And to look for interactions. We haven't had any negative results by any means. It hasn't affected our, you know, download speeds by much. And we haven't had any, you know, negative analytics come out of it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more testing for us to do, and, you know, to see if it's something we continue and, you know, in what way. Yeah. So we have a couple more projects planned for the future with click states as well. The Justine email from Kamaya a while back. Yeah. I actually reached out to them on Twitter when I first saw that. 'Cause I was like, I need to do this at Under Armour. So we have a couple projects coming up where I really want to implement a click state.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is teaching people and giving clear directive on like, hey, this is going to do something if you click on it or hover over it.
Is there any fear of, earlier you mentioned that your main goal of sending emails, get people into that, essentially that purchasing flow, you want them on the site where you can track them better and present them with better offers and hopefully they'll purchase something. Is there any fear that interactive email is going to kind of take away from that core goal because you're going to be keeping people in the email more?
Yeah, that is something I've been thinking about lately because I definitely don't want to turn any of our emails into little microsites per se. I think as long as we're using it as an educational tool and presenting, you know, just that extra hook to get you through to the next page, I think it's all right. But there is some fear there that you can go too far. Yeah. And there have been a couple of moments where it's like, okay, let's take a step back here and, you know, make sure that, you know, we're not creating a website with an email for many reasons. I'm, you know, against that, but mostly because it would keep people off the site. And we definitely want them to click through and have that curiosity to explore further.
Sure.
But Under Armour, as much as we're, you know, a fashion company and, you know, creating apparel for, you know, athletes, we're also a technology company. Mm-hmm. We refer to ourselves as that pretty often just because we're coming up with like very innovative fabrications and products. So I think email is a really great place to explain that to consumers.
Yeah.
Because it's not always really obvious, like, okay, well, why is this the greatest t-shirt? Well, let me tell you, you know, so I think email's a really good place to do that with these interactions.
Do you think there's ever going to be a point where you're going to experiment with that kind of Rebel Mail full checkout type process in an email?
Ooh, I don't know if I like that saying that out loud. I'm sure it'll be something asked for at one point in time. I think for now it's best just to keep driving traffic to the site because, you know, we also want them to sit around and explore for a while and find other things. When we look at our analytics, you know, a lot of the times the items that we featured are the top purchased items, but you often see other items in people's carts that weren't in the email whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I fear if we do a checkout process in email, it could hinder those opportunities for upsells and additional purchasing.
Yeah, I think that's a really great observation. Is there anything you're using to measure, apart from like the typical email analytics, for these interactive email campaigns? Do you guys measure the success of those any differently from a regular campaign?
Starting out, we just kind of looked at the, you know, average analytics, but we recently started putting some litmus pixels in our emails just to get some, you know, more information. And going forward, I'd like to put those on any interactive emails that we do.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I think that'll allow us to see how long people are spending on our emails, and I think that'll really help.
Cool.
Interesting. So I have a question. I mean, so how do you get buy-in to do something like this? And I know you're not doing the development, so maybe it's not as much of an upfront cost as if it were solely being done in-house, but there's still an added cost to it, right? I mean, how do you get buy-in to do an interactive email when you work with brands who won't even let you use, you know, web fonts as a progressive enhancement because they're so focused on their brand styling and guides? Like, how do you get buy-in to experiment with something like that?
Well, I guess it's best said that I'm a squeaky wheel. I usually bring ideas up at meetings and I really just start pushing, as you know, much as I can, to try these new things. And I often am printing things out or, you know, walking over with an email or forwarding things to people and saying, look at this, it's so cool, we have to do it. And Under Armour is all about innovation. So, you know, no isn't a word in our vocabulary here. And, you know, there are times where we have to say it's not the right moment. But overall, everybody's really good about wanting to try new things and, you know, testing out the latest and greatest. We're just also really big about protecting our brand. So I think that's where the corporate font comes in. Mm-hmm. And some of the images that we use is we have to protect our brand. And we actually have a motto called Protect This House. And it's all about protecting your home turf. So I think there's a balance, but yeah, they're pretty good about trying new stuff.
It's just interesting for me because it's actually not something I had thought of, but there's probably going to be a whole, like there's going to be a ton of retailers, I guess now, who are going to be more open to experimenting interactive email than, you know, pure HTML text.
I hope so.
Which is, I think, just somewhat ironic to me. Very interesting.
Yeah. So I'd love to ask and get your opinion on where you want to see email go next, whether that's just for, you know, your company and the retail industry or just email as a whole, if there's anything cool coming up that you really want to see email marketers and designers take advantage of.
Well, I think, you know, kind of riffing off what Kevin just said, I really want to see retailers like take it up a notch. You know, like I said, there are some limitations due to like corporate standards but I really want to see people, you know, try to be leaders in this industry and to like really push ourselves forward, whether that be with interactive or some really awesome CSS techniques. I just really want to see that, you know, push forward more and just get better. I mean, email's like constantly changing and I really can't wait to see where it goes next in general, but I think retail has a lot of catching up to do. And I think we deserve to be leaders within this industry. So we just got to fight our way to the top.
Do you think that retail, it's always seemed to me like retail has been very, very conservative as far as email goes. Do you think that's actually the case or is that just my kind of perception of it?
No, I think that's a you know, healthy observation. And I do see some brands out there, you know, looking to break the mold. And I think there's going to be more of that happening. You know, you can't stay static for long, especially in the retail industry. And you constantly have to figure out what to do next and, you know, to be the first one to do it. So I think there's going to be some healthy competition. And I'm already starting to see some of it happen.
What do you think are some of your greatest learnings? I mean, you've had a lot of experience from, you know, early out of school to working at two really big brands on the retail side. I mean, what are some of your greatest learnings in email?
Oh, that's a good question. Man, I think the biggest learning that I've had is that, you know, you got to dream big. And with email, at first, I thought it was this delicate little puzzle. And then I went to a Litmus conference and my mind was just totally blown in all the capabilities. So I think that with email, we never have to be afraid to stop learning and to try things that have never been tried before and just keep pursuing and finding those hacks and those techniques. And then with retail, I think it's, you know, valuing your consumer and, you know, learning how to create that brand loyalty. I've learned a lot about that. And I think, you know, the key with that has been analytics for me. It really fuels everything I do.
So what would you say to the Meg who came out of school, didn't really know what all this email stuff was about? I mean, what advice would you be given for email? What would you have liked to have told your old self when you were getting started?
Oh my gosh, like call spans and rose spans, just like stop it now. go find a mentor, go find a blog, you know, search a little harder to find those answers. Because I really did struggle at first just trying to figure it out on my own because I didn't realize that there was just this awesome community of people waiting for me. So I think I, you know, would give myself a pretty big wake up call about that there are people out there. And a lot of for like new designers out there, I know email, you know, changes really rapidly. And if you miss out on the conversation for just a couple days, suddenly, you know, all these things are changing and Gmail's doing great stuff. So I think it's, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions and don't be afraid to, you know, seek out the support because this community is just freaking awesome.
Very cool. All right. So we're going to end the episode on a little rapid fire questioning. We're going to just come at you one after another. Megan, you just sort of give us your first thing that comes to your mind. Sound good?
Great.
All right. So what is your sort of favorite email hack that you like to use or have seen?
I haven't used it, but we're getting ready to use it, and it's the ability to hide preview text. I'm like so excited about that. And I was in a meeting where I was asked to do it, and I was like, I don't think that's a thing. And then a week later, here I am at Adobe Max, and you talk about it during a session. So I'm just like so stoked to bring that into our workflow.
Nice. What's your favorite email client and your least favorite email client?
Okay, so my least favorite is Outlook, and my favorite is also Outlook. and it's just a respect thing. Like, I really used to hate on them and was constantly cursing about VML and stuff like that. And now, you know, seeing that they're not only trying to catch up, but also innovate, like, that's pretty awesome, and major props to them. So I'm excited to see what happens in the future with Microsoft, and, you know, really hope that they can drive this business forward.
Nice. Who's your favorite email, I guess, designer, developer, or marketer that you follow?
I would say Clinton Wilmot. He shares great content. He was really welcoming to the email community when I first started getting involved and tweeting with everybody. And also, he loves all my dog pictures. He's like always on my Instagram, like liking all of them and asking for more Mulligan pictures.
Makes sense. What's your what's your favorite blog?
I really like Really Good Emails. Mm. I think they're doing awesome things, and you know, you can go on there and find stuff like super fast and get great inspiration, and their blog content's fantastic.
What's your favorite email newsletter that you subscribe to?
Epicurious. If anybody knows me or my Instagram feed, I love food. Oh my gosh, I just love food. And the timeliness of their newsletter is perfect because it comes out around lunchtime every day. And then suddenly my leftovers look so shabby. But they have great content, and I love their delivering time, and they're responsive and all that fun stuff.
Nice. What's your favorite single email campaign of all time that you've ever seen?
Okay. So this isn't like an advertisement for you guys, but email design conference for year two for Litmus. It totally changed my perspective of email. I totally fell in love with email all over again. When that first one came out, I was like, video and email, oh my gosh. And it's where the hashtag pipe came from, PYPE. and it just really blew
my mind.
What's that
stand for, Meg?
Pee Your Pants Excitement.
Yeah. You're the creator.
I am the creator. So everybody use it, hashtag pipe.
Hashtag pipe. All right, yeah. So what would you be doing professionally if you weren't doing email or even design for that matter? What would you be doing?
I would love, like, if I couldn't, you know, do this, it would be to be an art historian or a curator. I really love art history. It's like a, you know, other passion of mine. And I think that's what I would do. Like, if somebody came over and broke my fingers, I guess that's what I would have to do next.
That's pretty sweet. Well, Meg, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast today. I mean, this was a ton of fun, and we definitely got into a lot of topics that we haven't talked about yet on the podcast, Jason, which was very interesting with the segmentation stuff. And you obviously have a really interesting company you're working for and doing some really interesting things with their audience. So yeah, thanks. Do you have, where can people follow you online? What links do you have to plug? I mean, where can people find you?
Follow me at Meg Tiffany. Super simple. That's where I'm at on Twitter. That's where I'm on Instagram, MEGTIFFANY. Follow Under Armour because we are awesome, and this company is kind of a dream come true. So check us out, subscribe to our emails, subscribe to our social channels, and see what this brand is doing because it's pretty awesome stuff.
Can you get me a Tom Brady hookup, Meg?
I don't need
so much to ask for.
Oh man, Tom, you're so dreamy.
Oh yes.
Man, I wish I could. I really wish I could. We do see some celebrity sightings here and there, but we're pretty respectful of them. So unfortunately, I cannot hook you up.
All right. Well, Next time you see him around, just let me know.
Yeah.
You know, I might have to make a quick stop by the office.
I'll be like, he's here.
Yeah. For those who don't know, I'm kind of a diehard Boston sports fan. So, Super Bowl champs, five rings, no big deal. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We love Tom in this office. He's great.
All right, Meg. Well, this has been so much fun. Thanks so much for coming on. And reminder, you can catch the podcast, emaildesignpodcast.com. All the show notes, links, full archive right there. You can tweet along with the hashtag emaildesignpodcast. And be sure to subscribe on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Get the podcast when it drops right away right there. And don't forget, free 14-day trial of Litmus. Just go to litmus.com/gift card and input the coupon code podcast. All right, until next time, email geeks. See ya.